Psalms 33:12, it says, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom He hath chosen for His own inheritance." Amen. I'm glad here to know that, of course, I believe He was talking about Israel directly, but I'm glad to know today that any nation in the world, amen, that'll take and make God at the center of it, and they have God as their Lord, God's going to bless that nation. Amen. That's a principle. Yes, it was directed toward Israel, probably, I believe that. But that's a principle that we can see that if anybody, even in a person's life, if that person makes God Lord in their life, then guess what? They're going to be a blessed person. Amen. God's going to bless them. And the same thing's true, I believe, in our country. That's why God's blessed us, and God has blessed the USA this morning, and I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful and proud to be an American. I'm thankful for those who fought and bled and died and willing to die if they had to, that have served our country. And I'm thankful this morning to be an American. And I think about, there's a lot of things going on today, and I'm going to try not to get into all that stuff because I got the message that I need to get to. But I'm thankful this morning for the freedoms that we still have. Amen. I'm thankful for what our country was in its roots and in its founding. Amen. And I'm thankful and blessed this morning. And you ought to feel the same way to be born in this country. Amen. I think about this past week. I've read different articles and things. And you say, well, I think a lot of times because we've been born here, most of us, well, like me, I've never been outside the United States. I know some of y'all have. But you think about the fact that I have been, but I don't remember it. Let me back up and say that to clarify. But you think about the fact, we take for granted, is what I'm trying to say, how blessed and how good things are. Amen? And how good we really have it. I thought about, this past, you take and you read, and I can't remember the article, but I was reading something this past week about that happened over in North Korea where one of the officers did something, and it was just some little something that would not be even thought about in our country, in Kim Jong-un's army. And I read the article about he took and he said, "Execute that officer." Boom, gone, just like that. And you think about that. Thank the Lord that we don't have that in our country today. Amen. People want to try to criticize some people and things, but I'm glad we've got freedom still in our country, even though it's not what it once was. I realize that. I'm glad we still got freedom in our country, and it's still the best country on earth by far. I'm thankful for our country. It's the greatest country on earth this morning. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Let's pray this morning before we go any further. Dear Lord, we thank You for everything You've done. Thank You for Your Word. Thank You for allowing us to be in Your house this morning. Thank You, dear Lord, for our country. Thank You, dear Lord, for all the things about it that we've, that's founded upon You. And dear Father, I pray that You would help us this morning, that You'd stir our hearts as Your children. Dear Lord, to be thankful for our country, but be thankful to You for the blessings that we have in our life. And one of those is being born in this country as an American. That we wouldn't take it for granted, but that, dear Lord, we'd be willing to stand for what's true and for what's right, and that we'd be willing, dear Lord, to, in the right way, fight and stand for Your Word and for the things that Your Word teaches and says. Help us, dear Father, I pray today. Give us understanding, speak to our hearts, do what only You can do through Your Word. In Jesus' name, amen. I mentioned this last week that the theme, if you will, this month here at the church was going to be battling faith. Battling faith. Our theme for the year is living by faith in 2018. And this month we're going to be focusing on battling faith, if you will. How Bible faith, biblical faith, will be a faith that doesn't compromise, that doesn't run away, that doesn't cower in the corner. As the old hymn used to say, keep on the firing line. Amen. That's what biblical faith is. But let me add this, if you will, as a footnote and a header, both, the fact that you got to do it in the right way. Amen. With the right heart, with the right attitude, out of love, the way that the Bible talks about. Amen. And that's very, very important. I'm not talking about going out and knocking people up the head and none of this crazy mess that some people talk about today. I'm talking about in love, in the right way, with the right position and the right disposition, sharing the truth of the gospel and what God says in His Word. Amen. That's what we're talking about today. And so, when you think about this today, when I think about our country and all the things that's in it that God has blessed us with, there's some things that come to my mind, and just going to use this, if you will, this morning by way of illustration. And there's something that Maybe some of us have more than others in our pockets, and that's some money. Amen. Every Sunday night, y'all take and you dig in your pockets and you pull out what little bit. You hope you got some like me. Change, because I don't use money too much. I just stick with the card, right? Because the more money I have, the quicker it goes, seems like, in my wallet. But I'm more less tempted to slide that card for some reason. That's just me. But you think about money. Amen. Our currency. We take and we use it every day. We have it in our pockets. We have it in our wallets. We have it in our little cup holders or whatever you want to call them, change trays in the cars. And maybe some of you have jugs at the house you put your change in and all that type of stuff. And we mess with our money every day and we don't think twice about it most of the time. Thankfully, Brother Neil helped me this morning because I couldn't find what I was looking for. And he brought some extra. I asked him to bring something for me this morning. I'll share that with you in a minute. But he also brought this, and I encourage you to look at it when you get done. It's a special edition of some coins and things that was done here in our country, and he can explain that more to you later. But it's neat to look at, uncirculated, and I knew he was a coin collector, so I knew he would have what I was looking for this morning that I could not find, but I have somewhere at the house. But anyway, this is a piece of money this morning that, matter of fact, I dug this out the change jug, okay? So I'm going to put it back, okay? I'm not going to keep it, I promise you. I dug this out the change jug this morning. Matter of fact, I found two of them in there. And this is a brand new 2018 penny. Amen. I found two of them in there. If I dug, I might have found more. So somebody in here gave some 2018 pennies. Amen. To David on a Sunday night. But you take that 2018 penny, most of us take, and if we see a penny laying on the ground, we just keep on walking by it, right? There is a few people that may be those that go by, they pick it up, they do that. I've swept at Hobby Lobby a lot, and there's change, and I've seen a few, and I've thought about picking it up, and then it'll have all kinds of nasty stuff around it and everything else, and I say, you know what? I'm going to leave that penny right there, amen? And I'll just keep on going. Now, you can think whatever you want to think of that, but it is what it is. So, but I take and I see those pennies and I see stuff laying around. And we've even talked several times our country has about doing away with the penny, right? Because they say it costs more than it's, you know, beneficial and all these types of things and all that. But you think about this penny that we have around us every single day. And this morning, if you will, I want to talk to you about the penny just for a few minutes. This penny right here. Not this one, but a different one. All you could take and pull out your wallet, and your penny would look similar to this one right here, this 2018, if you have a penny in your wallet. But this is the one I want to talk to you about this morning. This penny, I'll give you, if you want to look at it after service, I have it up here. But I got a blowed up version this morning. Amen. So that everybody could see it a little bit better. Amen. If you don't believe me, it's right here. It's the same thing I got on the picture. That's why I wanted Brother Neil to bring it. Especially, so some of you, I know probably everybody in here has seen those, but if you hadn't seen in a while, you can come look at it. But this penny is a little different. It looks like this on the front side. Basically the same as your penny if you pulled it out of your pocket today if you happen to have one. Pretty much same deal. Okay? The only difference that makes this penny special is the backside, because on the backside the penny looks like this. And I know everybody in here that's a little bit older, you've seen these pennies and you say, oh yeah, okay, I know what you're talking about. And this penny is one that we used to call the wheat penny. Amen. And so everybody's maybe seen, I know most of y'all all have seen those and got them maybe at home somewhere or another or whatever. And that's what for years and years our country printed and had on the penny, if you will. And there was reasons behind all of that, and we'll talk a little bit about that, but not in great detail here in just a minute. But you think about that penny, if you will, that is the way our penny looked in this country from 1909 to 1956. Almost 50 years, that is the way, and if this is wrong, brother, you can correct me after service. I know you probably know, but that's what Google said, amen? From 1909 to 1956, that's the way the penny looked for almost 50 years here in our country. You think about that, and it's very interesting. I showed you the front side as well on the front, and there's, of course, it's got the year there. It's got Abraham Lincoln, and it's got the word liberty and all of that. But you think about this, this one I showed you a copy of, it has 1944. And so that would fall within those ranges. So But just so you see that is the way our penny used to look. It was the wheat penny. We called it and termed it in 1909 to 1956. It was there. But it also had something across the top above Abraham Lincoln's head. And if you get out your new penny, and we got some of those down here to see afterwards if you want to look at it. But if you get out your new penny, you'll see as well there's something around Abraham Lincoln on there. And it's above his head still as well. It says, "In God we trust." If you take and pull out your money today, no matter what denomination of change that you take and pull out, or even the bills, if you will, that if you're blessed enough, you might have one or two of. But if you take and you pull those out, you'll find as well that the words, "In God we trust," are on all those pieces of money. And I found that interesting, because you think about "In God we trust" is something that we see all over our money, all over our currency. Well, the reason why is because both modern and past, we see it all over it, is when you take those words, and I'll just read you, this is what I found. In 1956, "In God we trust" was adopted as our national motto. Now, I'm going to tell you what the national motto was before 1956, if you hang on just a few minutes. But in 1956, "In God we trust" was adopted as our national motto. "In God we trust." And also that same year, on July 30th, 1956, some of y'all might remember these days, President Eisenhower and Congress, Dwight Eisenhower and Congress, passed a law that said all our money must have these words on it. Now, I didn't realize that. That was something new I'd never heard before. Congress, can you believe that? And the president passed a law. They actually agreed on something, and it was the fact that all of our currency, coins and bills, by our law, country's law, has to have those words on it. That amazed me when I saw that. I knew it was always on there. I knew it was there, but I didn't realize that there is a law in our country that says that has to be on the money. Money's changed over time, lots of different things, lots of denominations, but there's a law on the books that says "In God we trust" has to be on those pieces of money. That's our country's motto. Congress passed it, and the president signed it, and it's been approved. You think about this also, which is interesting, that the state of Florida also in 2006 adopted this as their motto for their state, "In God we trust." You take and you pull up, and I guess it has not changed to my knowledge, you take and you pull up a Florida state flag. Amen. We had South Carolina state flag. I don't remember ever seeing the Florida state flag until I seen this as I was doing some research, that the Florida state flag says on it, "In God we trust." That's something they put on there, and then in 2006 they adopted that as the motto, if you will, for their state. And you think about, it's interesting to see that. Yet today, to be honest with you, our country is not really a Christian nation anymore. Now I know, don't get upset, don't get mad at me. I know it was founded upon Christian principles, and I agree with all that 100%. But it's hard for me to stand up and to really say that today, 2018, we are a Christian nation still. We was founded upon Christian principles, amen, and we still are in a lot of ways following those things. But to say that we're a Christian nation is a hard-pressed thing to say. I even go as far as quoting one of our, and I'm not being mean, I'm just stating a fact, okay? I even go as far as quoting one of our former presidents, our last president. He said this, and I quote exactly. He's been misquoted, and I'm not going to do that this morning. I'm going to quote exactly what he said. "We are no longer just a Christian nation." That's one of our former presidents, Obama. That's what he said. We're no longer just a Christian nation. He didn't say we're no longer a Christian nation, but we're no longer just a Christian nation. You know what? He's exactly right. That's one of the things I can say he's right about. Amen. Why? Because we got all these different things that I could start naming off this morning that are not Christian. Amen. And you think about the Christian population, those that claim to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior and to worship Him and believe in Him, it's declined tremendously, hasn't it? And all these others are rising. Just to name one, Muslim. Amen. And there's lots of others I could name as well. You think about the fact today We're not what we once was. How can we say we're a Christian nation anymore? We was, we used to be, I hope we are again. But how can we say we are really a nation that exemplifies the word Christian, little Christ, if you will, to the world? When you take and you look at abortion that's in our country, you look at same-sex marriage that's in our country, you learn on our TV sets, you watch our movies, you watch the shows that we're putting out all across the world, and you listen to all the foul language and the filth that's being put out. You think about all that stuff that's being promoted nowadays. There's less people believing in God than ever before. Just look at the polls. Amen. There's less people going to church than ever before. Just look at the numbers. You think about simply today, there's even our former president made that comment. It's clear to see today that unfortunately we're not what we once was. Remember I told you, why do you say all that this morning? To simply say this, that this is the way our penny used to look on the front. And as I showed you a second ago, our penny used to, from 1909 to 1956, on the back, it looked like this, the wheat penny. Now, I'm going to fly through this for the sake of time this morning as quick as I can, okay? But I want you to think about, this is the way our country had. This was in the pockets of Americans for years when they had a penny. Up until 1956, this is the way it looked. This is what they had. I want to preach to you for a few minutes this morning. The message is entitled, In God Do We Trust? In God Do We Trust? Do we still trust in God today? Do you still trust in God today? Do we? Hopefully, as Faith Baptist Church, we still trust in God. When you take a look at this penny, the wheat penny, something that you'll notice right off about it is it has some words that a lot of our other currency still has on it, and all of it may. I've not verified that, so I'm not going to say that. I'm just going to use the word a lot. That a lot of our currency has on it today that if you look up here across the top, it says, E pluribus unum. Amen. And does anybody know what those words mean, by the way?
Negative.
Anybody?
Negative.
Negative? Okay. Let me look and get the exact words in. Y'all was going to get y'all to help me. Let me get the exact words because I don't want to read it wrong. Out of many, one. Out of many, one. That's what it exactly translates to. That's why I didn't want to misquote it. Out of many, one. That was our national motto before the year that we took and made In God We Trust our motto. E pluribus unum was the country's motto all the way up to that point when Congress passed that law and they did all those things I told you about earlier. That was the nation's motto, E pluribus unum. Among many, one. You ever thought about that just for a minute? That's right there on all of our most all of our money, and it was right there on that penny. You think about it's on these, if you look at them, which is exactly what this picture is that's laying up here that Brother Neil brought for us. E pluribus unum, out of many, one. If you will, turn with me to 1 Peter chapter number 2 this morning. 1 Peter 2, and look with me at a couple verses of Scripture. Because I believe this penny this morning can preach, if you will, about us, to us as Christians, and can preach concerning our country, and can preach concerning the things that we need in our, back in our country, and in our homes, and in our lives. E pluribus unum, out of many, one. 1 Peter 2 and verse number 9. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 9, if you will, the Bible says, But ye are, talking to those that are saved, ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, notice those words, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath what? Called you. Notice those words. Called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. And then he goes into calling us strangers and pilgrims in verse number 11. But I wanted you to notice that phrase there about how he uses the names of we're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. The world thinks you peculiar. It's okay. Guess what? That's a good thing. Because that's what the Bible says we are as believers. We're a peculiar people. But notice the next part. It said that ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness. When I see that word e pluribus unum and the fact that it meant one out of many, one. That speaks to the fact today, reminded me of 1 Peter 2, 9 and 10, because of the fact we have been called out by God. Amen. We as believers have been called out from among many people in this world today. I think about the day, August 22nd, 1992, that I got saved. I heard the Holy Spirit of God convicting my heart and calling to my heart that I was a lost sinner. Amen. From among many, of all the people in the world, God spoke to my heart. Amen. I'm glad He speaks to every man's heart, by the way. Let me throw that in. It gives everybody a chance to be saved. But He called to my heart that day and that night out of all the people in the world and showed me that I was a lost sinner and that I needed Him as my Savior. You think about today, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you've been called out of darkness into His marvelous light. One among many. You think about the fact today, from out of many, one. I'm glad today to know that we have been called out. There's an old song that says that. It says, and we've been called out for a purpose. Called out to be a servant. Called out to lift a standard. To raise a banner, we've been called out. To be a witness, called out. To show forgiveness, called out. From this world, child, you've been called out. I say this morning that we have been called out by the Lord Jesus Christ this morning to serve Him if you know Him as your Savior. Amen. And if you don't know Him as your Savior, He's calling out to your heart, to you today, to come to know Him and be saved. Amen. And to be born again. But there's something else about this penny, I believe, that'll preach. And that is the fact that if you take and you look at this wheat penny, there's something right underneath E Pluribus Unum on it. And it's some words that tells us how much a penny is worth. Does anybody know what those? Somebody help me read those? 1 cent. That ain't much, is it? Ain't much nowadays. I can't think of anything you can buy for a penny. Maybe add them together, right? Used to could buy stuff for a penny. I know I've heard about it. But anyway, you think about that 1 cent. Amen. That was to let you know what that penny was worth. May I say today, for every one of us in here this morning that know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, guess what you are? You're one that is sent. Amen? You are one that is sent. And may I say, don't go getting prideful either. You're worth about 1 cent, just like me. Amen? Because we're made of dirt this morning. Amen? But you think about, in the eyes of God, we can do great things for Him with His strength and with His help in us. Amen? You think about this morning, don't get prideful. 1 cent. Remember that. You're just simply 1 cent from among many. Amen? You're just 1 cent. You think about today, Mark chapter 16 and verse 15. And He said unto them, the words of Jesus, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. If somebody tells you to go and the Lord tells you to go, sounds like you being sent. Amen? You think about here the next verse, Luke 14, 23. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in that my house may be filled. Amen? You see, simply this morning the message is, if you're saved and you know the Lord Jesus Christ, He said, go to the highways and hedges. He said, go to the whole world and declare the gospel. You see, this morning we've got spoilt with the wrong attitude a lot of times. Come, 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 come. I want people to come to church. I pray, Lord, help people to come to church. And a lot of times God brings people, amen, God brings people to church that we never went and visited in our whole life. Amen. Thank the Lord for that. But you know why I believe God does that? Because we've been going. Amen. A lot of times we go, the people we go to, they don't come, but God says, okay, I see your faithfulness, I see you going, I see you doing what I'm telling you to do, I'm going to bring somebody. Amen. We got to go. Amen. That's what we got to do. That's what the Bible says. We got to get to going more, folks. The Bible says in Luke 14, 23, at the end, He said, to compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. Amen. We got to invite people. Boy, the days that we used to take and pack pews and this, that, and the other Sundays and all that stuff we used to have, and I guess shame on me for not saying those and having those types of things. I don't know. But the days that we used to invite people to come to church more. Amen. You think about, we got to compel them to come to the house of God. When's the last time you or me have honestly went up to somebody and said, hey, I want to ask you to come to church this Sunday. I want to give you an invitation to come. I'm saying you think this morning, we are ones that are sent. We've been sent out by our Lord into this world to shout this message that the old hymn says, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Amen. Bear the news to every land, across the steeps and the waves, onward 'tis our Lord's command. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Amen. That's the message we're to go share. That's the message we've been sent to share this morning with others. But there's also something else interesting about this penny that I'll preach this morning. Not only does it say E pluribus unum in one cent, amen, and we could talk about the United States of America, but we're going to talk about that as we go through the message. But the other thing that's on the back of this penny is where it gets its name from right here on each side, the wheat, amen. Those two grains are stalks, whatever word you want to use, it's a technical term there, of wheat. When I see that right there, there's some immediate thoughts that come to my mind from the Word of God. Because you think about the wheat that's on that penny. Turn with me, if you would, to Matthew chapter number 9 this morning. Matthew chapter number 9. Matthew chapter number 9 this morning. Matthew 9 and verse number 36. Matthew 9, 36. The Bible says, and these are the words of Jesus, we'll start in verse 35. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, notice what he said to his disciples, his followers, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. There's another place where Jesus said, hey, look out into the fields. He said, you see the fields? Talking about the wheat, the grain, it's white unto harvest. You think about simply today, that wheat speaks to the fact that you and I, we've got a harvest field in this world. We've been ones that have been sent, amen, out of many, one. We've been sent and called out by God to go out into His harvest field and to share the message of the gospel with the lost. We've been sent to our country, the United States of America, where God's placed us, to go out and to share the message of the gospel. Will you and I take this morning and declare the message Jesus saves? You think about this harvest field. It's there. It's there. It's there all around us every day. You think about this, and I thought about this today. You say, but Pastor, it seems so hard to witness and share the gospel nowadays, and I know it does to a point. But I want to give you a real quick example of something I believe that's true. There's two ways you can look at things. Amen? And I believe it's kind of this way. If we was to take today and me and Kara's dad, Mr. Lyons, and Tom, was to all take and I was to say, hey, I got a house I want y'all to come look at. They say, okay, let's go look at it. We pulled up in the driveway and the house was 200 years old. The roof had fell in. The chimney had fell over all over the place. Holes in the floor. I mean, it was just windows bust out. It was just a disaster. Amen. 3 acres of land, prime land, but the house was a disaster. And here I am with Brother Lyons and here I am with Brother Tom and I look at this house. And I said, well, what do y'all think? This ain't quite what I was expecting. But they're only asking $3,000 for the house. 3 acres of land. Nice neighborhood. But this house is tore up. I look at that house, and we did this a little bit, not quite that extreme, but we did this a little bit with some houses that we looked at. We was looking for a house. And I walked in, I looked at that thing, I told Kelly, I said, no way. I said, it's too much work. I said, there ain't no way, I just can't see it. Amen. I just can't see it, I can't picture it. This is a wreck. No. And then the realtor might be there and he would say, well, you know, it's got good bones. And I told Kelly, that just means it's messed up real bad. I mean, that's all it means. I mean, good bones. What? That don't do me no good. Amen. I don't know how to fix the bones. Amen. You know, it's got good bones. Oh, okay, that whatever. You know, whatever that means to you, I understand. But, you know, it's got good bones to it. I kept hearing that many times. Amen. Praise the Lord if that works for you. It don't work for me. But I need a good house. Amen. Not good bones. Amen. I get a broke bone, I have to go get somebody else to fix it. Same thing with a broke house. But Brother Lyons is there. He looks at this thing. He said, "Oh yeah, man, I can fix this thing up. I've done it many times before. It ain't no problem." Tom looks at it and he says, "That's a steal of a deal. Look at this land. Look at all these. I can get somebody to fix it up for you." Amen. A few years ago, he said, "I'll fix it up, maybe, amen, for a price." Right? You think about the fact, boy, this is good. You could come out good. Because they got a vision. They could say, "Well, we can do this here, and this here, and that here, and boy, we could get this thing looking good." Me, I look at that thing, I say, "Yeah, good bones, yeah. It's just a mess." You see the point? There's two different ways of looking at it, right? I have problems seeing those things. When Jesus looked out at the harvest field, He said it's white already to harvest. In other words, there's a lot of opportunity there. Amen? There's a lot of potential there. There's a lot. The hearts are ready. You just got to be busy to go and got to work. There's a lot of stuff there, a lot of grain. But no doubt maybe some of those disciples looked out at it like I do at times and you do at times with soul winning, with witnessing to others, and we say, "Man, it's so hard. That ground, so hard. It's a mess out there." But Jesus says the fields are white. You see today, I find it interesting, you think about this penny, it looked this way. Do you see the fields white unto harvest today, or do you instead see, like I see, the house that's a mess a lot of times? What do you see when you look out at the harvest field of this world and the opportunity to share the gospel? May the Lord help us today to see it with the eye of faith, like Jesus said when He said, "I see the white, the fields that are white unto harvest." Realize the lesson, if you will, of this penny, that we're ones called and we're ones sent, and the field is ready to be harvested if we'll just go. You think about the penny this morning, we can learn a lot from that, but I'm going to go through this real quickly, that there's something else on the penny that's interesting that I didn't even mention, that's on the old and the new on the front side, and I guess it's always been this way to my knowledge. I didn't research it out, so if I'm wrong, forgive me. There's a man on the front of the penny, Abraham Lincoln. Amen. Abraham Lincoln, one of our early presidents. And he made this comment, and I'm going to read to you these really quickly, okay? He made some quotes, and I want you to listen to this, one of our founding fathers, okay? Who has "In God We Trust" right above his head on each penny that you have. He said this, "I can see how it might be possible for a man to look down upon the earth and be an atheist, but I cannot conceive how he could look up into the heavens and say there is no God." That's Abraham Lincoln. The man that has above his head, where did he say look up? "In God we trust." Abraham Lincoln said this, "I believe the Bible is the best gift God has given to man." Abraham Lincoln said this, "Let us have faith that right makes might, and in that faith let us to the end dare to do our duty as we understand it." And lastly, Abraham Lincoln, the man that's on the penny that we've been talking about this morning, said this. And I encourage you to listen to the words very closely. Think of how long ago this was when he said this. And think about the song that we played, the last song this morning about the eagle crying. He said this, "We have forgotten." Abraham Lincoln said that. "We have forgotten the gracious hand which has preserved us in peace and multiplied and enriched and strengthened us, and have vainly imagined in the deceitfulness of our hearts that all these blessings were produced by some superior wisdom and virtue of our own. Intoxicated with unbroken success, we have become too self-sufficient to feel the necessity of redeeming and preserving grace, too proud to pray to the God that made us." That's Abraham Lincoln. May I go through real quickly one more thing this morning. Not only will the penny preach, but there's something else that'll preach this morning. And it's something else that probably most of you have in your wallet. And that's this right here. A quarter. You take and you look, and Brother Neil has some special money up here, like say dollar and half dollar. I dug in the coin jar and I found some quarters. This is from 2017. And of course the back side of the quarters with all the different special stuff they got going on look a lot different depending on which one you grab. But you think about those quarters this morning. Here's a blowed up picture, if you will, of a quarter from 1965. Now I found out that was a little bit of a special year and y'all coin people know what I'm talking about. But anyway, 1965, a quarter. But if you take and you look at the quarter in 1965 and a lot of the older quarters, you'll find out that this is the way they looked on the front side. And there's, of course, similar things between the quarter today and the quarter here that I'm showing you on this picture. But if you find an older quarter, there's something that's different about it from the modern day quarters. Matter of fact, this one right here that's up here this morning, you can look at it after service and you'll see exactly what I'm talking about. And I've got another picture I'm going to show you here in a minute to verify. But this quarter is the way it looked for years. You take and you look at this quarter and you notice, of course, it has who in the middle? George Washington. We're going to talk about him just for a second in a minute. Our first president, right, David? Right. George Washington. He knows that, amen, of the United States. You think about George Washington. In front of George Washington, we have right here the words, "In God we trust." Our nation's motto, right? We saw, talked about it a little bit on the penny. Not going to talk about it again too much. But you see the words, "In God we trust," on the quarter right there. Required by law to be on our money. You think about that was there for years and years and years. I told you I have a copy up here of a 2017 quarter. But for any of y'all who might want to doubt me on this, I found on the computer a 2018, okay, quarter. Now somebody might have one in their wallet, and I hope it matches what I found, because if not, I'm in trouble. But I looked it up, researched it, and this is supposedly right still today, because I couldn't find one. If you pull out a 2018 quarter, you'll find something a little different from the way the quarter looked for years and years and years. Does anybody notice a difference?
Liberty.
Something's changed about that quarter. The words, "In God we trust," are no longer where they once were. Now liberty's in the front. May I say today, folks, that's why our country's in a mess. Not because they changed the quarter. Don't take that out of context, okay? They changed the quarter and messed up the whole country, the pastor said Sunday. No, and they changed the penny too and messed us all up. No, I'm not saying that. Don't go there. Amen? But I'm using this as an example this morning. This is the truth. It used to be years ago this way, just like the penny. But look at it now. On the penny, is there wheat anymore? No. Does it say 1 cent anymore? No. Does anybody even have any clue the things I read you about Abraham Lincoln anymore? No, we're not a Christian nation. You can't have that billboard. You can't even have that. No, I'm not going to promote that special thing in your church, even though you're paying me money to put up that billboard. No. You think about simply, I believe our country, this is a right quarter for the way we are now. We've taken God and we've stuck Him behind us rather than in front of us. In other words, God's got our back. In other words, the way that we as Christians treat God a lot of times. He's still there in case we need Him. When the Twin Towers fall, we pray to God, we gather together, thank the Lord we did. Amen. I'm not minimizing that at all. But when we need God as a crutch, we go to Him. Amen. But when everything's good, we put Him back behind us again. I'm simply making the point, that's what we've done in our country. That's what Abraham Lincoln said in the quote from years ago. We've forgotten. We've become intoxicated with these blessings and the good things that we've had that we don't realize that God's the one that's done this. You think about today, folks, we've placed "In God we trust" behind us. And may I say, there's people, if you've been listening the last few years, you've seen this. I ain't heard as much rumble about this lately. But there's been people that's trying to get "In God we trust" in God's name off of everything.
That's right. That's right.
So we went from in front to behind, and now they're trying to get it gone completely on it. I'm simply making the point this morning that look at where our country has went to. Look at what we have become. You think about our motto is "In God We Trust." It used to be in front of our face. This is what our motto is. This is what our theme, if you will, is. Our vision is to trust in God no matter what happens. But now it's behind us, and there's a lot trying to put it completely off altogether. You think about today, over time, things has changed. They have. As you see, the words "In God We Trust" has changed as well. Trying to put God in the background. So what are we to do today in our country? What are we to do? Thank the Lord for the positives that we have seen and we do see and hopefully we'll see in the future. But what can I do, Pastor? You've been giving me a lot of things, but give me some application. What about me today? Well, I say look at the wheat penny. I done gave you a lot if you look at that. But let me say this today in conclusion. This country is still the best country on earth. I'm thankful for it. I'm not saying I'm unthankful. I'm not saying I'm ungrateful. I'm not saying I don't love it. I'm not saying any of those things this morning. Do not twist anything that I'm trying to say. I love our country. I don't want to be nowhere else, amen, on this earth. I'm thankful for it. But I'm not thankful for what we've become and the direction that we've been going in for the longest time. And it's only by the grace and mercy and help of God that we are still where we are, that things aren't worse. Yet today, what's my part, Pastor? May I say our part is several things. Prayer. Prayer. Pray to God for our leaders. Pray to God for our country. I had a convicting statement said to me this week, although I know most of them, but I wondered about, and I hate to say this because I'm being judgmental when I say this, but it's true. I wondered about some other people. I heard a preacher make this comment this week. He said, we're told in the Bible to pray for our leaders. He said, how can you pray for them? And I understand his point here, although I know you could argue with this. He said, how can you pray for them when you don't even know who your senators are? How can you pray for them when you don't even know what your House of Representatives' names are? You say, I can say I pray for them. I understand that. But I think the point he was trying to make is pretty clear. We don't even know a lot of times. You think about today, we all need to pray more. We need to go soul winning more. Amen. We need to witness more. We need to share the gospel more. We need to pray for those in our country. We need to be faithful in our service to God in every way. We need to go vote. Amen. So that we might today seek to be revived by the hand of God. Amen. That He might make our nation great again. Amen. That He might help us if we'll take and turn back to Him and not be and realize that blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Amen. That we might place Him back in front of us again. In God we trust. Amen. That we might take and believe like the things that I read this morning that Abraham Lincoln read. You think about today. You look at our country. You look at the things that's going on. It's amazing. May I take and read to you one more thing this morning? One more thing. Let me find where it's at here. I read to you a little bit about Abraham Lincoln and what he said. But let me read to you one thing from George Washington, the man that's on the quarter. They used to have the words, "In God we trust," in front of his face, but now they're behind him. He said this, "It is impossible to rightly govern the world without God and the Bible." That's what the man that's on the quarter said. It's impossible. But with God, may I add a scripture verse, all things are possible. Amen. If we just go back to trusting God again. You see today, folks, Psalms 9 and verse number 17 says this. This is a hard verse to read, but it's a true verse. The wicked shall be turned into hell in all nations that what? Forget God. We need to remember Him. You saw the verse at the beginning of the message. Blessed is the nation. If we don't, Psalms 9 will be the result. Read to you one more verse and we'll be done. 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Today I ask me and I ask you, are we thankful, number one, for the country that we live in and for the blessings God's given to us? I hope so. There's so many today that's trying to tear down things And I believe trying to get us to take for granted in a lot of ways and not appreciate what we have. I'm thankful to be an American. I'm thankful to live in this country. Don't mean I have to love and like everything that's taking place today, but I'm thankful. Amen. You see, today, folks, I ask you this question this morning. In God do we trust? Have you still got God in front of your face in the fact of I'm trusting in Him? I'm following Him. He's first in my life. I'm going to do what He wants me to do. Because as that penny preached this morning, we're one sent from among many to share the gospel. There's a field out there wide in the harvest. Or instead, if we take it and we put God behind us, I'm not saying you lost your salvation. I'm saying you put God behind you in your life because you've got these other liberties, these other freedoms, and God gives you the choice, amen, to take and to serve Him, to have that liberty and freedom, or to take and do whatever you want to do. But one day there'll be a judgment. I ask you today to trust Him, to be thankful for everything God's given to us. We need to realize there's some things we're standing for. Battling faith in the right way. Let's pray.